no doubt, being right here in Galatians, was predestined from before the foundation of the world. Because could you pick a better time than the week before Baal Day to deal with this material? People say, Baal Day, what are you talking about? Well, it can't be the birthday of the Lord, since that was in late September.
Amen.
And it can't be celebrating his death, which is what we're supposed to remember. So I'm going to ascribe it to the sun god and make it what it is.
Yeah.
But in Galatians now, in chapter 4, we've got the Apostle Paul, who, don't forget, he's been hot. He's been angry at these people.
Mm-hmm.
And you saw that in verses 8 and 9 of chapter 1, saying, let him be accursed. That's pretty stout language. In Galatians chapter 2 and verse 17, about self-justification, God forbid. In Galatians chapter 3, verse 3, are you so foolish? He is not mollycoddling. And, you know, we best discern to whom we're speaking. Because, as we were talking before this hour, when you're dealing with a kid, that's one thing. When you're dealing with a teenager, when you're dealing with somebody that doesn't know anything, that's quite another. When I write a letter to the editor of the Sword of the Lord or to the editor of the Berean Searchlight, I'm working on the premise this isn't their first rodeo.
Yeah.
That they know what the issues are, they know what the deal is, and they are intelligized. Sometimes that's a problem, but you just speak to them. And Paul is speaking to these people as people who ought to know.
Yes.
They've been removed when they shouldn't have been. And Paul's going to get angry again. We'll see it in Galatians chapter 4, verse 11. I'm afraid of you, lest I bestowed upon you labor in vain. He just got done saying, I've wasted my time with you people. I need to go find somebody else to speak to, because talking to you, I might as well talk to a brick.
Yeah.
So Paul's tone is rather like dealing with a disobedient child that is about to do something self-destructive. When I dropped a note to the editor of the Berean Searchlight, calling to his attention that you asked middle schoolers to cross-refer what they read in their Sunday school curriculum to a book written by a Church of Christ baptismal regenerate amillennialist elder, Max Licato, that your head needs looked at. You did a stupid thing. I would like to think that you could talk plainly, but obviously not. And Paul is talking plainly to people.
Yes.
He does that often. That, I think, should be part of our pattern. You don't talk that way to 12-year-olds, or you don't talk that way to babes in the faith. But by the time a person has reached a level of maturity, and they do something that is ridiculous, they ought to be able to hear the word ridiculous, that's ridiculous, without crying and hiding under the bed with the dust bunnies.
Mm-hmm.
So now we come to Galatians chapter 4, verse 8, and he starts with the word, how be it. How is it? How be it then? When ye knew not God, ye did service unto them which by nature are no gods. But now, something's changed. After that ye have known God, or maybe I'm giving you too much credit.
Yeah.
Or rather are known of God. How turn ye again to the weak and beggarly elements, whereunto you desire again to be in bondage? If you've been set free, why'd you go back to bondage?
Yes.
Because there's a comfort level there. Because it's what you've known. Because it's familiar. And so you might return to that which is weak and beggarly, because that's all you've ever known. One of the lessons that I think was so important, and I know it was appreciated as I was teaching the men down there in Lebanon Correctional, was maybe the best thing you could do when you get out is not go home.
Yes.
Not go back where you came from.
Yes.
Because maybe mom and dad taught you how to shoplift. maybe you need to get in a different environment and get away from that, because recidivism is going back to the old ways.
Yeah.
Well, where'd you learn now? That's where we just sent you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And put a shackle on you so you can't leave there and make sure that you know everything wrong there is to know, right?
Yeah.
Well, don't go back to it. So it's not uncommon for people to return to the scene of the crime and go home to where they learned it.
Yeah.
How is it, Paul wants to know, when you were unsaved, you served error. Now do you want to serve error again? Why would you do that? And most of us are taught to do that. Most of us are taught that the law was the schoolmaster, now we trusted Jesus, and now we still operate with the schoolmaster. Somebody please pass out the tithing envelopes. So we were taught in amalgam. We weren't set free. The cord was not severed between us and the law program, because performance is so important to pulpits. And pulpits want to manipulate the people's performance when it comes to pocketbooks, when it comes to their performance in church and singing and whatever they have need for.
Yeah.
Clearly, liberty is where we need to operate. Operate in maturity, understanding doctrine, operating in liberty. And when you're weak and beggarly, then you are still submitting, remember Galatians chapter 4, the first couple of verses, to tutors and governors. When you've been saved for about 5 minutes, it wouldn't hurt if somebody tutored you and governed you a little bit, equipping you to tutor and govern yourself. The end game is not to create a symbiotic relationship between the person and the pulpit. The end game is to set the person at liberty where they can feed themselves and operate under the headship that is real, and that the Lord Jesus Christ, and not under a pastor, teacher, or anything like that.
Right.
The point needs to be mature soldiers operating in liberty, serving the Lord Jesus Christ, doing as they can do every good thing for His service. Now, going back to error, that was one that, by God's mercy and grace, when I thought I learned something that I hadn't known, and that it was a truth that supplanted error, I've not had a tendency to go back.
That's right.
I'm done.
Yes.
It's wrong. You've proven it to me. I've studied it out. I'm convinced. Give me a free Christmas tree and I'll just take it out in the yard and plant it.
Yeah.
I'm not going back.
No.
I'm where I am because God's truth put me there.
Yeah.
I'm convinced. I'm not ambivalent. Remember, the biggest problem in Mayberry, according to Barney Fife, was the people that got too much apathy. I'm not apathetic.
No.
And when you teach me tithing is under the law and it's wrong, when you teach me that we don't regard one day over another, when I get that, then I don't compromise it. Now that's something that some folks find commendable and other folks can't stand.
Mm-hmm. Right.
That's a truth that I've had to live with. Perhaps I understand how offensive it is better when I think about when I quit smoking. I'm so quick to be evangelistic about, look at me. And just the day before, I was 2 to 3 packs a day. The difference between that day and this day isn't me.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. So I needed to learn that.
Yes.
That it's not about me bragging on me.
Mm-hmm.
It's all to His glory.
Yeah.
And there's to a smoker, there's nobody any more irritating and aggravating than a reformed smoker.
Oh, yes. Yes. Mm-hmm.
Who yesterday smelled just the same as do you today.
Yes.
And, you know, one day, and all of a sudden, they're better than you. Well, it's, I had to learn how this can be really hard for people to swallow.
Yes.
Because when you have convictions, when you have determined something, and it's now settled truth.
Yes.
To all the people who are unsettled or uncaring, it's offensive.
Yes, very.
Nobody woke up this morning saying, well, one more day closer to hell. They've made peace. You're certain of your heavenly home. They may not be, but they've made peace.
Yep, they have.
Oh, the good old guy upstairs, you know, if there is a God. And they've made peace. So it's a hard thing to confront folks. I think more often than not, Paul's approach of just get it over with is pretty good. He is dealing with these people. And by the way, ancillary in the passage is the concept that before these folks were saved, before these folks stopped worshiping the bad gods, no gods, God didn't even know who they were. You see that?
Yeah.
You did service unto them which by nature are no gods, but now after that you have known God, or rather are known of God, it sounds like there was a point in time when God didn't know you. I was misled when I was told John 3:16 I should read my name into the verse.
Yeah.
Because the verse is about God so loved the world. But he's dealing with his creation. Yeah. Not just little old me. And you know how I know that? Two verses later, he'll let me go to hell in a handcart.
Yes.
Oops. Mm-hmm. Doesn't sound very loving, John 3:18, John 3:36. He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. He that believeth not on the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. Have a nice day.
Yes.
John 3:18, John 3:36. Everybody memorizes what they want to memorize and disregards what's uncomfortable. Do you see that?
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already. There was an old hillbilly song about, oh, God is just waiting in line. No, he's not. Now, people serving them that are not gods is spoken to in Acts chapter 14, and you see long about verse 11. They think that Paul and Barnabas are Jupiter and Mercurius.
Yeah.
So you've got the idea then that, and Dr. Ruffin says if you want to look for where demons go, probably on the planet Jupiter. You got this priest of Jupiter, which was brought before the city, and you're surrounded by heathen religion. People pretend as if it's a Christian thing. But Sinterklaas, so many things are just a Christianization, quote unquote, of pagan principles and concepts and myths and lies. There's three St. Valentines. You can read about each of the three. When you find out that the 15th of February is Lupercalia, you think, oh, every living beast has sexual relations on the 15th of February. You better pick a mate on the 14th, huh?
Yeah.
Will you be my Valentine?
Mm-hmm.
When you see the pagan history of it, you think to yourself, these aren't real gods. There's no reality here. They're idols and confusion and idolatry. And Carol gives me credit for having a rat trap mind, which I think is not a good thing because I know what rat trap trap. They trap rats. So I got a lot of junk up there.
But there's a limit.
I think you get to a point where a fact goes in one ear and you're up to your limit, so one has to fall out the other side.
There's a limit.
If I fill my head with junk and pursue junk, I'm really not investing myself, my resource, as best I could. Rather than that I learn God's truth and become convicted about it and operate according to that. We've got a funny situation in our country where we are blatant about idolatry as if the words don't mean anything.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
We've got the American Idol program. Mm-hmm. We call them idols and rock stars. Who are stars in your Bible?
Jesus.
Angels. What's the city where the stars live? Holy. The city of the angels, Los Angeles, mm-hmm. which has Hollywood. Mm-hmm. Hollywood, right there. It's just funny. I mean, it could have been called Gary, Indiana. But it's not. It's the city of the angels, where we've got Hollywood. And that's where the stars congregate. Mm-hmm. Just, you see, words mean things.
Yes.
But then if you're going to pervert them and make them wicked and pagan, you use the same words. Mm-hmm. And now we idolize people.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
I just read a quote from a fellow the other day who returns home from Afghanistan, and he was called a hero, and he said, no, the heroes are the ones who don't come back.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
We throw around words rather loosely, that's his point. Well, these people in Galatia, they were regarding one day over another, making something important. Paul used that as a measure. They regard him one day over another. Do you know? That is so common in American society that you would be wacky, in most people's opinion, to say we should have every day the same.
Yes.
If that's a Bible truth.
Yes.
To esteem every day the same. Let's turn back to Psalm 82. I put that in your notes because it's just a little bitty short psalm. Heaven is not 15 minutes of fame.
No.
Celebrities are not stars. Most of them are reprehensible.
Right.
I'm sorry. I don't think that the veneration of Lady Diana would be in place had she had the looks of Camilla Parker Bowles. But the drunken soft behavior and I'm sorry, it's just we worship pretty people in this country.
Mm-hmm.
We worship youth.
Yep.
We disparage perhaps the greatest resources we've got are the elders.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
We don't want to hear them. Psalm 82, God standeth in the congregation of the mighty, he judgeth among the gods, and a whole bunch of false gods. How long will ye judge unjustly and accept the persons of the wicked? Well, apparently a long time.
Yes.
Defend the poor and fatherless, do justice to the afflicted and needed. He's speaking to what Israel ought to be doing, and that corresponds with James chapter 2. Deliver the poor and needy, rid them out of the hand of the wicked. That's giving them, they can't take the mark of the beast, so you're going to have to look out for them. They know not, neither will they understand. They walk in darkness. All the foundations of the world, of the earth, are out of course. I love that because that does not that match. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 2, we walk according to the course of this world, for the children of disobedience. Ye are gods, and all of your children are you are all the children of the Most High, but ye shall die like men. Ye shall fall like the prince consequences. We esteem so many things that are wrong and reprehensible. How much of the modern, just last year, how much of the entertainment world focused on paranormal, vampires,
yeah,
out-of-body experiences?
Yeah.
Quite a little bit.
Yeah. Right.
You can do that. You portray Bible truth. Oh, we can't have that.
Yeah.
So there is an agenda.
Oh, yeah.
I'd be glad if they put the cutting edge away. I'm tired of them trying to see how much they can cuss and how dirty they can get and how much skin they can show. Put the cutting edge away.
Yes.
So Paul's looking at it, and he's very uncomfortable. He's discomforted about it. And he's going to judge.
Yes.
He's not going to line up with Matthew chapter 7, verse 1, judge not, lest you be judged. He's going to make a judgment. He's going to make an evaluation. You are not exactly a judge in that you can't pass a sentence.
Amen.
But you can judge behaviors and attitudes because you need to discern good and evil. You need to know who needs what from God's word and do the best you can to deliver that to them.
Yes.
Now, again, in the passage in Galatians in chapter 4, we see in the passage something that is very, very helpful. There was a time when these people apparently didn't know God and weren't known of Him. That's just one more nail in Calvin's coffin.
Yes.
Apparently they weren't predestined. Apparently they weren't settled before the foundation of the world. So I throw that in for free. Now, down to Galatians chapter 4, and we're to verse 9. Now turn ye again to the weak and beggarly elements. There are people, and you remember them, do you not, in 2 Timothy in chapter 1, who desire to be teachers of the law. And they know not what they affirm. So the Apostle Paul is very adamant as that is. It's in 1 Timothy. Desiring to be teachers of the law, verse 7, understanding neither what they say nor whereof they affirm. No Seventh-day Adventist must have read that. How turn ye again to the weak and beggarly? I made an excuse for all of us by saying, well, that's where we were. That's what was comfortable.
Mm-hmm.
We have always lived in a society that says, do good to get ahead.
Yes.
Work hard,
yes,
you get a better grade.
Mm-hmm.
Work hard, you get a raise. It's always about performance to gain.
Yes.
Here comes Christ and does everything without your performing. It's so counterintuitive to anything that we've ever learned. So Arminianism is a really pleasant system then, because you trust Christ plus you do.
Yeah.
And you mix the two together. So you're not totally out of the transaction. You've got a people in the Galatians, you've got a people in the Hebrew people that have operated under the law for all these many centuries. All of a sudden, that's it. We have no more need of the schoolmaster. That's it.
Mm-hmm.
Has to be hard.
Yeah.
And again, we're dealing with people.
Yes.
It's easy, I think, easier within our own intellect to understand some of these principles and concepts and get them in our noodles. But to communicate them to someone else who has a totally different background, is not comfortable with you, and doesn't know enough Bible to understand that you're teaching them a Bible concept, it's hard for them to get grace. So they wanted to return to the weak and beggarly elements. In Romans chapter 2 and verse 13, the Apostle Paul talks about being hearers of the law are just before God, and the doers of the law shall be justified. That's all the Galatian people have known
yeah.
for 14 or so centuries.
Yeah.
by the way, did Paul write Romans 2:13?
Yes.
If you took one verse out of context, could you say Paul is saying that you're justified by the law?
Yeah.
You could, couldn't you?
Yeah.
You just want to be correct. Romans chapter 2, verse 13. People forget that Romans 1, 2, and 3 is a history lesson. I've taught that 100 times, and I can't do it enough. But here is the law just before God. How about that? It's progressive revelation that Paul is dealing with. Moses described it, the righteousness which is of the law. So if that's all Paul ever said, then you wouldn't know about justification by grace through faith, would you?
That's right.
So then you best not just steal half a verse. The beggarly elements included Sabbaths and special days, observance of months and new moons, observances of times and seasons, observance of year-end atonements, sabbatical years. Why, I met a nun who was just back from her sabbatical trip to the Vatican.
Yep.
She'd been 50 years a nun serving at Maria Joseph up there on Salem Avenue. She went to the Vatican and came back from 50 years a nun. She walks into my Christian bookstore, and I start talking with her about Christ and Him crucified. And somewhere we got to the idea that you can't really read the Bible on your own. You need a priest to be able to explain it to you, because there's so much nuance and so many things that after 50 years a nun, just back from seeing the Pope in the Vatican, she admitted to me she had never read the book of the Apocalypse. She'd never read the Apocalypse, the book of Revelation. You want to go to an outfit that keeps you dumb on purpose? So I opened, you know me, and subtle little puppy there. I turned my Bible to Revelation chapter 17 and was reading about the woman arrayed in purple and scarlet and decked with gold and precious stones and pearls and a golden cup in her hand. She said, "Oh, that's Mary. That's..." No, it's the abominations of abominations. Mm-hmm. I guess what I'm trying to communicate is this is harder than it maybe looks.
Yes.
When you get it and you say, "Oh, this is great, this is, I get it, now this is easy." That's you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There's another 320 million Americans who don't find it that easy. They really struggle and chafe at every bit of it.
Yep.
How turn ye again to the weak and beggar the elements? Why? If you took the shopping season, October to December, and I guess it goes into January when you take stuff back, did you refund it by other stuff?
Yeah.
If you took that away from the American economy, you'd have more of a recession than you already have.
Mm-hmm.
Really. As pagan as it all is, and you know, I don't expect even the people who adhere to it and practice it to disagree. I mean, pretty much everybody knows it's a pagan bunch of things. But we do it for Jesus, you know, whatever the rationale is.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
What I find, what really concerns me about the folks who can't separate themselves from it is the issue that I raised earlier about settled truth. When you see the truth of something, you're willing to be settled with it and not compromise with it. So I'm concerned about your willingness to compromise. I'm concerned that every religious system, the only religious system that God ever validated was the one the Hebrew people had. But every religious system is about special days and about veneration of this week and that week and special times. So rather than really operating with crucified with Christ understanding, rather with really operating with a grace mentality, you've got a foot in each world.
Yeah.
Where you do regard one day, but I really don't care. Yeah, but you do it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Words mean things,
yes.
So do action.
Amen.
And so it's troublesome to me. Now, nobody's going to hell because they decorated their tree. The tree God owed him. Speech. To which you bow. And there's gifts underneath.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
When you find out it's all pagan, well, but we do it for Jesus. And the last time there was a Bible under that tree was when? No, there's a Wii and a Nintendo and new shoes and all that aside, Paul is adamant, no new moons, no Sabbath days. Now, in Galatians, Paul raises the issue. He uses one day over another, verse 11, Galatians 4, as a litmus test, as an evaluator. Well, I'm here 2,000 years later. I'm reading a verse. Ye observe days and months and times and years, I'm afraid of you. Well, Paul, you're wrong about that. It really doesn't matter. I'm not good with that. If he's afraid of people to regard one day over another, concerned that he's wasting time with them, to me, that's a heads up.
Yeah, absolutely.
To me, that communicates.
Yes.
Now, it doesn't happen 100 times out of 100, but it happens 98 times out of 100. Now, when you deal with this, the knee-jerk comeback is Romans 14. Not 100 times out of 100, but 98. A high number. And so the comeback is Romans chapter 14. And where we want to go is verse 5. One man esteemeth one day above another, another esteemeth every day alike. Let every man be fully persuaded in his own mind. So John R. Rice writes a book, Why I Love Christmas. And he uses this verse to say that he is fully persuaded in his own mind to use the birthday of Jesus to tell people they need a new birthday to be born again and that kind of stuff. So that's the rationale. That's the way that you present your apologetics about celebrating the Lord's birth when he wasn't born and all the rest of that. When people go to Romans chapter 14 to validate what they're doing, what they've said to me is, you're right, but I don't care.
Yes.
Verse 1. I've got weak people in the faith. If I've got a choice, do I want to be the weak person or the strong person? I'd rather be strong than weak. Okay. One believeth that he may eat all things. Look at the vegetarian. He's weak. I've never met a vegetarian who didn't think he was a spiritual giant better than me, pretty much. He's the weak one. I know that because I can read. Let him not even despise him that eateth not. Let him not which... I'm not going to despise anybody. But you know what? He's weak. When you regard one day over the other, I don't despise you, but you're weak.
That's right.
Grow up. Get over it.
That's right.
I know it's tricky, the course of Abijah. I know it's tricky when Elizabeth was born. I know it's tricky, 6 months. I know you have to actually use six verses to get there. And they're in different books. I know how hard that is. I know being crucified with Christ is not our normal view of who we are. We have to learn that. That is what strengthens the inner man. That is what allows you then to be circumcised from the body of sins of the flesh, because they're dead, crucified, hang them on a cross where they belong and leave them there. So people continually use Romans chapter 14, verse 5. And in verse 5, let every man be fully persuaded in his own mind. See, it doesn't matter. I can't despise you. I shouldn't. I mean, you're my brother. You're my sister. You're just weak.
Yes.
So when I go to war, you stay home and bake the cookies.
Right.
Exactly.
Trim the tree.
Yes.
Do something you think is useful. So Paul says, I'm afraid of you. Can you think of anything worse that could be said to you by your leader, by your mentor? I mean, this guy, you look up at him, you respect him, you want to pick his brain and learn everything he knows. This guy, he was the one met by the Lord Jesus Christ, and he's the me first, and he's the pattern. And he says to me, I think I'm wasting time with you because you celebrated a special day.
Yeah.
Where you just felt closer to Jesus. Can you think of anything worse that your mentor, your leader, your exemplar could say to you? You've been hanging out with me. That's a waste of time. Mine and yours, go away. I mean,
yeah. Woo-hoo. Yeah.
That's harsh.
Yeah.
I'm afraid of you. Is he scared of him?
Yeah.
No.
No.
But they're of no use to him.
No.
He can't send them where he sent Silvanus. He can't send them where he sent Titus. He'd be afraid to use them. They'd go home with John Mark.
Yeah.
Forget you. Hmm?
Yeah.
If all we're doing is trimming trees, I guess it doesn't matter. But if actually we are attempting to advance Pauline truth and see souls saved and saints edified, then it starts to matter.
Yes.
The mixed message is one of the more dangerous messages you'll ever get. You need pure grace to be saved. You need a pure Bible to study to show yourself approved unto God. There needs to be a purity. These folks are a mess. So the apostle then points it out to them. I love what I have in your notes after Galatians chapter 4, verse 10. You have lived days and months and times and years. Holy Week has Shrove Tuesday, Ash Wednesday, Maundy Thursday, Bad Saturday, and Easter Sunday, followed by Blue Monday, Catfish Wednesday, and Good Time Saturday night.
I'm familiar with that.
Huh? Yes, sir. Catfish Wednesday, every Wednesday, we fry catfish. What were the holy days? They were a part of the law program, part of the ceremonies, and that was all for the Hebrew people, and they were teaching events.
Yes.
Of God's provision for the Hebrew people.
Yes.
They were real.
Yes.
They really happened. Now, their reality, the teaching, the oral history and all that the Hebrew people got from the Passover and from these lessons, they were a shadow of, by Pentecost book, things to come. So where you find them in your Bible, they're for the Hebrew people. What they're teaching the Hebrew people about is their prophesied kingdom and things to come. Colossians chapter 2, verse 17. The body is of Christ. Colossians chapter 2, in verse 16. But he blots out the handwriting of ordinances and was against us, contrary to us, out of the way, nailed him to the cross, and having spoiled principalities and powers, he made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in it. Let no man therefore judge you in meat or drink, or in respect of a holy day, new moon, Sabbath days. They were real. They are a shadow of things to come.
Mm-hmm.
Where do you fit in that? But the body isn't of the real thing or of the shadow. It's of Christ. So what then relationship do I have to Sabbaths, new moons, holy days? Either in their execution or in their prophecy would be none whatsoever. Grace understanding wings me off that.
Yes.
Grace understanding, crucified with Christ, nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me.
Yeah.
It's so the reality shadowed something, but Paul's words, but the body, it isn't of those things.
That's right.
The body is of Christ. So, Paul is weaning me away, not simply from the concept of the law, but the execution of even its ceremonies.
Yes.
Teaching me the bodies of Christ. The problem, if you look at Galatians chapter 3, is I'm reminded, it was such a rich teaching experience for me personally, those 5 years I went down to Lebanon Correctional Institution. I learned so much. I would get some men clear on something Tuesday night. By the time a week comes by and I'm back next Tuesday, it's all gone.
Yeah.
There was one, not a pretty lady at all. What was her name? Oh, that they love to watch on TV.
Oh, it's a dog face.
Oh, yeah. A dog face might be a little strong.
Yeah.
Marilyn. That's bad testimony. Carol says dog face, and other people know that who that means. Yeah, they love Marilyn. I don't know what it was. But Marilyn said by the time I get back the next Tuesday, what I had taught them gone away. Like the tide came in and washed all the writing in the sand off and had to start over every week. Galatians chapter 3, verse 1. The fourth word. There's opposition. Who had somebody do this? You see it? It's not like the Galatians were just going down the street, la 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 la. Somebody bewitched them. Somebody went after them. Somebody, Jesus is fine, but you'll keep the law. Somebody got to them. Now that's a problem. And that little word who, that's instructive. Because it's good when you and I find out who the who is. Somebody. When you teach somebody dispensational truth and they're nodding up and down like a bobblehead doll, and you meet them in 2 weeks, they've got 15 arguments. They didn't think of any of them. They went to their pastor, they went to their daddy, they went to somebody to find out what's wrong with this, because they couldn't know.
Yeah.
Then when they oppose you, you're dealing with them.
Yeah.
What a waste of time that is.
Yeah.
Because the person you're dealing with obviously isn't thinking for his or herself.
No, right. Not at all.
They bobble ahead when it was you. They bobble ahead when it was him. They come, it's just weebles wobble, but they don't fall down. So the who becomes the issue. Who hath bewitched you? I've made the point in teaching on the King James Bible issue. People come up with all these contradictions in the King James Bible. They read the Bible, they didn't get those.
No.
They went to Cedar Grove College and learned those. They
yeah.
taught that in Bible class.
Yeah.
So, who hath bewitched you? There is opposition.
Yeah.
Oh, Brother McLean, him and Christmas. Oh, he's just a wacky. Nobody agrees with him. Which is probably true. Didn't make him wrong, though, did it?
Yep.
So, it doesn't just miraculously happen. We are in a world system with Satan as its head. We have a public education system, a mainstream media, and an entertainment system where God, as a cuss word, is always welcome. God, as Christ dying for your sins, never mind. So we are up against it. Paul hitting on this, you know, I said years ago, I believe it would be more acceptable were I to blaspheme the Holy Ghost than to speak against Christmas and Easter.
Oh, yeah.
That more people, when there's more resistance to the high holy days, and proof that the Protestant acorn did not fall very far from the Roman Catholic tree.
Yes.
And no doubt Calvin was right that we were predestined to get to this section of Galatians the week before the high holy day of Christianity. Are you aware that there are more suicides committed between Christmas and New Year's than any other time of the year? Because of the letdown? Because I didn't get the spirit, because the family didn't come, because of that. People get a lot of wrong ideas about God and what He's doing. And you pull that rug out from under Him, we're better to be steadfast, unmovable, than to Christmas high and back to Wally World low, Easter high and oh no, I gotta go back to work on a Sunday. We're better to be steadfast, level headed, unmovable. Paul says, you observe days. That, of course, would be the Jewish calendar.
Yeah.
Where did the Roman Catholic liturgical calendar come from? Same place.
Yeah.
With a few additions.
Oh, yes.
With the same place. We'll stop there. Amen.
Yeah. The first time to come to that section.
That's hilarious, isn't it?